Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us now, as he does every Friday at this time, Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and the founder host of the Pensacola Movie Club, which you can follow him on Facebook, do so, and then watch movies with them and talk about the movies afterwards. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Wicked. Finally.
Wicked.
And I should tell you, I have not seen Wicked. I am so eager to see the movie. I'm really eager to see it. How was it?
It's fantastic, actually. I was a little dubious about this, mostly because, of course, this is a big Broadway show.
Right.
It's been running for 20-some-odd years on Broadway, and it's been on tour, and it's, obviously it's a prequel/tangentially related to The Wizard of Oz, yada yada.
Alternate origin story, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah, this is something, it's a very well-known property. But I was a little dubious about the fact that they decided to turn this into two movies. And if you didn't know that, you know it now. Into the movie. Well, you'd be surprised how many people I heard last night saying, I didn't know it was a part one.
Well, I didn't know till you told me. So, okay, I'm prepared for that now. Go on.
So, I mean, like, it always kind of surprises me. Like, how do you get excited about seeing a movie and not know anything about the movie?
I just know that I wanted to see the play, and I haven't had a chance to see the play, so I'm excited to see the movie.
And there are a lot of people excited about this movie, and it made $20 million in previews already. It's going to be one of the biggest movies of the year.
Sure.
But
is it
good? It is. So I was a little dubious about them splitting into two. But, man, this movie's fantastic.
Great.
It really is. Just everything about it. The cast is fantastic. I had heard earlier in the week some people saying, oh, Ariana Grande may be supporting actress. And I was like, yeah, right. No, she's fantastic.
Oh, great.
Cynthia Erivo is fantastic in this. Jeff Goldblum, Michelle Yeoh, everybody is fantastic. The production design is amazing. The film looks incredible.
Okay, stop selling. Stop selling. You've got yes.
Yeah,
we're good. My question I have for you, though, is, was there singing? Because this has been a thing, right, that people are going to be singing in the theater, but they're, like, putting up signs and telling people not to sing except at certain select showings, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that have seen the show either on Broadway or on tour. They've listened to the cast album. They know the song.
Yeah.
I get that. But there's a lot of people going to this movie that haven't seen any of that. And they're going to see the movie. They're going to see the people on screen sing, not
Edna and the seat over.
The next scene who would fail karaoke, So
all right.
I get it. And I know you were asking me before we came on air, it's like asking people to go to Rocky Horror and not sing. But people didn't sing at Rocky Horror the first week it came out.
No, that's true. That's a fair point. Okay,
it took
so Wicked
years for it to become,
Wicked
is
great. The other big one that's out this week, as I know people are kind of referring to this as a twofer, like a Barbenheimer redo, Gladiator 2.
Also getting much better reviews than I expected it to get for 24 years later?
Yeah, it's not the ripest of sequels, is it?
24 year later sequel to a movie that everybody died in.
Yeah, right. Like, what's the follow-up? Right, exactly. I had the same question.
Spoilers for Gladiator 1 here, but yeah. So it is a very dubious connection in that this is the gladiator in this film is the nephew of Joaquin Phoenix's character from the first movie.
Okay.
Who witnessed Maximus's death in the arena and is inspired by him to go on and try to, save Rome by competing in the gladiator tournament.
Okay. Well, I'm in. I'll watch this movie for sure, so I'm hoping it's as good as, even if it's close,
good,
you know what I mean?
Good reviews, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, a lot better than I expected out of this, and
okay.
I've talked to a few people that have seen it and say that it is much better than they expected.
Good. Bonhoeffer.
I'm standing the faint praise, but yeah.
Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I assume?
Yes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's somebody I didn't know a whole lot about, to be completely honest, till the last day or two, but was a pastor in Germany during the rise of Hitler, mm-hmm. and basically had to kind of reconcile his morals with, you know, the fate of his country, and became a soldier and potentially an assassin of Hitler. So interesting, you know, dichotomy there. This is from a faith-based film label, but it is getting a more mainstream release and more mainstream reviews. Reviews are okay, running about 56% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, and then the last one, Say a Little Prayer?
Yeah, not screened for critics on this one. This is...
also faith-based?
I'm not real clear on that because the plot seems like it would be, but I'm not seeing any of the obvious indicators of, you know, like being from like Puriflex or Angelflex, sure, or any of those kind of labels. But these three men say a prayer to the saint of all lost things to find their true loves. And so it's kind of a romantic comedy, but again, not screened for critics. A little dubious this is getting dropped out there when there's so much big stuff out
there. Yeah, in an obvious big weekend for two big movies. What are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
Well, so we do have a little bit of a hangover because I think people are still going to be catching up with Wicked and Gladiator 2, but there is another big movie coming out on Tuesday night for a Wednesday release for because next week is Thanksgiving.
Right.
So movies come out early that week. Moana 2 is coming next week. So,
also a delayed sequel. Okay.
Yeah, another one I'm a little dubious about because this started out as it was going to be a TV series, and they said, no, we're just going to take the first couple of episodes and turn it into a movie.
Okay. Well,
that can work sometimes,
we'll see.
But sometimes it doesn't. We'll see.
Follow the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Again, Tuesday for the screening, not Thursday if they watch it, because on Thursday you watch football, not movies. And also the host host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 here on News Radio. Julio, as always, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
816 News Radio 92.3. John has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on East Burgess Road and Ronda Street near the railroad tracks in front of West Florida High School. Both east and westbound lanes are just congested right now. That's about a 10 to 15 minute delay. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through the construction zone. It is about a 10 to 15 minute delay through that area, so make sure you plan ahead. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola begins Friday and goes through the holidays with a 500,000 lights, performances, tours, and of course, Santa. See PensacolaWinterfest.org. Friday night, enjoy another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is Festival of Living Art. Meet your friends and neighbors for another fun evening. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today For the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the National Football League for deciding to allow players to continue performing celebration dances that emulate President-elect Say Not His Name. In case you haven't seen it, all last week players on both offense and defense were celebrating big plays by standing together and moving their arms up and down in that awkwardly irregular and hypnotic style of Donald Who Shall Not Be Named. When asked whether this sort of overtly political and divisive behavior would be allowed, the NFL said it, quote, had no issue with the dancing. But oh dear Othron, how can this be? After so many hard years spent capturing the NFL for our cause through getting them to allow kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner, adding a black national anthem, converting the Redskins to the Commanders, and even putting inspirational gibberish on the back of players' helmets, including phrases like Stop Hate, Black Lives Matter, End Racism, and my own personal favorite, Inspire Change. To see the NFL cave to the forces of anti-wokeosity like this is so very disappointing. We thought we'd captured the NFL effectively for Wave 3 Kaepernickism, almost to the point of forcing security police to wear plain clothes and ending the warlike practice of military flyovers at games. But as is often the case, when heretic football players feel suddenly emboldened by watching more than half of the country vote for the unnamed one, they take the chance to make light of the situation through anxiety-inducing hate dances. So to the NFL, if you cannot regain your position as a certified progressive organization, banning anything even remotely favorable to President Rhymes with Stump, we must hereby revoke your certificate of tolerance, defrock you of your rainbow epaulets, and cast you into the NASCAR abyss, where you will be slowly devoured by revisionist historians for 1,000 years. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Representative Nancy Mace and Speaker Mike Johnson for their cold, cruel, and thoroughly transphobic response to the needs of newly elected Representative Sarah McBride, the first openly transgender member of Congress. By the way, we say first openly because we want to imply without evidence that due to cultural anti-trans bigotry, perhaps many current and former members of Congress have been transgender and either could not reveal or did not even realize their true natures. This week, Mace declared war on trans people by demanding that only so-called biological women be allowed to use the Capitol restrooms marked for their gender assigned at birth.
I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. I will stand in the brink and stand in the way of anyone on the radical left who thinks that it's okay for a penis to be in a women's locker room or a bathroom or a changing room. Hell no. I'm not going to stand for it.
So disappointing. So offensive. But what Nancy Mace refuses to understand is that until a trans woman like Sarah McBride is allowed to do everything a cis woman can do, we will be stuck in this separate but unequal world that denies all the sacred truths of the holy acronym string. Sadly, Speaker Johnson has agreed to the demand and banned trans women from using female bathrooms in the Capitol. While explaining his horrid decision, Johnson gave the most hate speech answer I've ever heard spoken by an elected official not from Alabama.
A man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And a man cannot become a woman. But I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity.
Well, it is so very hypocritical of you to offer to treat trans people with dignity after denying the validity of their very existence. This is exactly the kind of word violence that leads to actual violence and oppression. Until bathrooms are based on what's on your mind and not what's on your body, nobody will be free. Now, an important announcement. Because this is an active trans emergency, the Multilateral Council of the Elders of the Enlightenment Southern District has activated all members of the National Chanting Mafia, chapters 1 through 4, 6, and 13, for a national protest sit-in being held at City Hall restrooms around the nation this weekend. Participation in this activation will count towards your virtue badges and your annual woke pliance accreditation hours under the allyship and social disruption scores, but not, I repeat, you will not be receiving credit for the publicly pretending you believe in unity score at this time. Appeals for credit may be filed with the relevant prefect. As part of Occupy Bathrooms 3.0, we will be mixing genders indiscriminately in groups and chanting our words of power in as many municipal bathrooms as we can find. We're still workshopping the verbiage of the chants, so be sure to vote on the card found in your We Don't Call It a Bullet In as you depart the service this morning. Here are the top three candidates. Stalls are just and stalls are right. Demand a stall with all your might. Stand up and stay is what we know for all who must sit down and go. And the third candidate, freedom for thee and freedom to pee is all we want for you and me. So be sure to join us this weekend as we all strive to break through the porcelain ceiling and end urinal violence today. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our highest praise for the thought innovators at Jaguar Land Rover Automotive for their brilliant new ad series entitled Copy Nothing. The clever campaign features androgynous models of various races and ages wearing brightly colored, over-the-top, fashion-forward, gender-bending costumes, parading on screen with slogans such as Create Exuberant, Live Vivid, Delete Ordinary, and Break Molds, spelled with a U. The way these non-pastel misfits from a Blade Runner fashion show demonstrate an out-of-this-world unconventionality of both hairstyle, clothing, and race and gender really inspires us to support the luxury automobiles of Jaguar. In fact, the ads feel like what would have happened if Andy Warhol had taken acid at a 70s Tupperware party and decided to make raincoats out of the merchandise. Barbarella herself never imagined anything so strange. It's as if all the fine leaders of the United Colors of Benetton returned and turned their creative talents from unisex fashions to gender-fluid automobiles. So daring, so bold, so completely unrelated to anything having to do with cars, we love it. As Chief Creative Officer and Professor of Imaginary Image Imagineering, Jerry McGovern stated, New Jaguar is a brand built around exuberant modernism. It's imaginative, bold, and artistic at every touchpoint. It is unique and fearless. Well, all we can say is it certainly was fearless. So for launching what can only be described as the great Bud Light 2.0 ad campaign of 2024, Jaguar, we salute you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Share and Share Alike, bakers of only the finest, most unsatisfying communally shared meal balls. To foster the experience of socialistic equality and misery, Share and Share Alike compressed four courses of food into a single flavor ball designed to be bitten into and passed around groups of four, six, or nine. By eating off the same meal ball as your fellow otherin, we can all learn to think of us as part of one big saliva-sharing family. Share and Share Alike. Meal balls with the unmistakable taste of virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, and I have the worst audience in here, too, because Jonathan Owens and Larry Downs Jr. are all in here, and they're, like, making mild improvements and side references to other things that will just... I'll just leave your imagination to figure it out. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
We're still dealing with
this. Let's just say that maybe Speaker Johnson was not the best person to be the spokesperson on the transgender bathroom issue. Let's just say it lightly that way. John is cannot function. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well, the Supreme Court is set to release an opinion later this morning. That's going to be here in about a half an hour. They heard nine cases in October, including arguments over federal court jurisdiction, ghost guns, and the Oklahoma death penalty. There's no word on which opinion or opinions could be released today. It's been about three decades now since the murder of JonBenet Ramsey, and her father says he's still hopeful the killer's going to be caught. He was on the Today Show. He says he's hoping advances in DNA technology can open some new leads in that 1996 case. And apparently a new Netflix documentary is going to be released on that here in the next week or so. And Russia has confirmed that they launched a new medium-range ballistic missile into Ukraine. In a speech yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin said his country employed a non-nuclear hypersonic ballistic missile to strike a military factory. He said the test of that weapon was, of course, in response to the U.S. authorizing Ukraine to fire American missiles into Russia.
Got it. John, are you able to function now?
I am barely, but we will make it through, my friend.
You got a Rhodes Report for him?
Yes, I do.
Well, give it, man.
Burgess Road. If you're on Burgess Road going westbound right near West Florida High School, you're going to see some delays in that area. Also, just minor delays in I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're buying or selling a home or thinking about it, you know, a lot of times it's in the thinking about it phase, right? You want to know what's your home worth, what can you get, how quickly will it take place, is now the right time to list it, what's going on with the market, what's going on with interest rates. If I do sell the home, do I have to replace the roof, the water heater, the AC? Don't ask me. I mean, I just talk on the radio for a living. Talk to Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. They sold 175 homes last year. They got 150 already this year, on track to do about the same number this year as last year. They know they can solve the problems. They understand the bumps in the road on the way to closing, and they can anticipate and prevent them. And if anything else comes up, because every deal is different, they can handle it. Plus, with all those repetitions, with all that muscle memory, they know what's normal. And as the market shifts, they know how to advise you on, hey, here's what's kind of happening now and how we ought to do it differently. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158. Coming up, The Wrap with Jonathan Owens and, oh my God, Larry Downs Jr.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump will try again with a new attorney general nominee, former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi.
The nomination comes just hours after Trump's first pick, Congressman Matt Gaetz, dropped out of the running after Trump reportedly told him he did not have the votes to get confirmed. Gaetz congratulated Bondi, saying they worked closely together at the Florida State House, and said she is an inspiring leader and a champion for all. Brooke Singman, Fox News.
The Capitol Christmas tree arrives this morning, always chosen from a different national forest.
This year's tree, a Sitka spruce from Alaska's Tongass National Forest, the nation's largest, making the over 4,000-mile journey to Washington, D.C. It will add holiday cheer to the district, gracing the west front lawn of the U.S. Capitol. A lighting ceremony is set for December 3rd.
Fox's Kristen Goodman, the tree's nickname, Spruce Wayne, like Batman, the winner of an online poll. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got sunshine, but it's a little bit chilly. 48 degrees right now in Pensacola. Six men headed to prison on racketeering charges. This is related to a fraud scheme dating back to 2020. The state attorney's office says 23-year-old Elijah Simmons, 22-year-old Antonio Slocum Jr., 29-year-old Raymond Borner, 23-year-old David Cattell, 23-year-old Michael Hunter, and 22-year-old Tajiri Barnes were all sentenced this month. Prosecutors say those men were stealing identities and applying for fraudulent CARES Act loans, then depositing those checks at local banks. 40 victims lost more than $251,000 to that scheme. Well, we are learning more about what happened in the deliberation room during the Sheila Agee murder trial this week. The judge declared a mistrial Wednesday. One juror was caught doing crossword puzzles during testimony, then again in deliberations. The jury foreman tells Channel 3 the juror was yelling at other people in the jury room.
Her screaming, quite literally screaming at other jurors, was almost insanity to me.
That is Vladimir Gusarov. He talked with Channel 3. Juror Sally Sue Smith did admit to doing those crossword puzzles. She said it helped with her mental focus, but she did deny allegations when talking to Channel 3 of threatening any of the other jurors. Sheila Agee was on trial for principal to first degree premeditated murder. Her case will be retried. She's due back in court in February. An update on that home on Red Oak Drive that was recently turned into a transitional home by the Reentry Alliance Pensacola. Neighborhood residents were concerned after five sex offenders that were previously convicted of crimes involving kids were placed there.
They're done today. Everybody is out today.
Richard Lynch is the director of operations for REAP, and he says it's just best for everybody involved if they move them to other homes within the organization. REAP says they do plan to continue using that house, though, as a transitional home for the formerly incarcerated, but they won't be placing sex offenders there. Well, in West Palm Beach County, the sheriff's office is in mourning after an out-of-control SUV hit three of their deputies.
All three of them were transported to St. Mary's Hospital. Unfortunately, two of them were deceased. The third one went to surgery, is now in ICU.
And that is Sheriff Rick Bradshaw. He says Deputy Ignacio Diaz is in critical but stable condition. Bradshaw identified two deputies that were killed as Corporal Luis Paez and Deputy Sheriff Ralph Butch Waller. That violent wreck happened on Thursday morning. So far, no charges have been filed against the driver of the SUV. The investigation is continuing in that case. Another nitrogen gas execution is completed in Alabama. That's the third time the method has been used there. It's been 30 years now since Vicki DeBleu died at the hands of Corey Grayson. She was a hitchhiker in southern Alabama near Odenville. Grayson was put to death last night at the prison in Atmore. And Rick Scott accusing a couple of Biden administration officials of cowardice. Scott released a statement yesterday after Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and FBI Director Christopher Wray skipped a public hearing. The Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs scheduled that hearing. Scott says Mayorkas and Wray's absence undermines the Senate's obligation to conduct oversight of the executive branch. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Got still dealing with the delays on Burgess Road, both eastbound and westbound. Is seeing some delays right there past West Florida High School, so just be aware of that. I-10 eastbound has got down to about a five-minute delay between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It will be a chilly start today with temperatures in the mid-40s, plenty of sunshine in the afternoon, highs near 60 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43. For Saturday, sunny skies, high near 62. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. On Sunday, starting to warm up with partly cloudy skies, high near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 48 degrees right now in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, 47 in Milton. And your money now this morning. Markets not changed a lot today. The Dow is up about 65 and a half points at 43,935. S&P's up 8.5 points, 59.57. The NASDAQ up just over 17 points at 18,989. Our 10-year bond rate is down slightly, 4.408%. Gold price is up 16 bucks at 26.90. Silver price is up 16 cents, 31.10. And taking a look at that crypto market this morning, Bitcoin right now down 578 at 97,679. Ethereum down just a bit, down 54 points. Solana down 14 cents. Dogecoin up a penny right now at 40 cents. XRP up 23 cents. Our next news at 9 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, hop, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, it's the wrap. It's when I have a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we talk about the issues and events of the week, and good Lord, what was I thinking? But here we go. So, long-time, very good friend Jonathan Owens.
Good morning.
Is here, a repeat offender. And I'm going to blame you for this because this was your suggestion.
Oh, okay. I'll take responsibility.
You called me and said, you know who'd be fun to have on the wrap?
For you saying it was okay. I'll take responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not the gatekeeper. I am. He said, you know who'd be good on the rap? He said, Larry Downs Jr. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I'm like, okay, let me think about it. So, Larry, actually, you and I have known each other. I mean, we don't interact a lot, but we've known each other a long time. Going back to, yes. I had you on the show when you were criticizing Don Saguaro for Pensacola yes. Energy and, you know, them offering contracts for plumbing work that put you in a disadvantageous competitive position for the city. And this is like 9 years ago. So, yeah. We've known each other a long time.
Yep.
And you are, my best way to describe it is you are a mixed martial artist, a plumber, and a local blank stirrer at the county commission meetings. Is that all fair?
And a freedom advocate.
Absolutely, a freedom advocate. I don't think I agree with you all that often, but on a couple of things, important things, I think we really do agree.
Well, let me ask you one thing real quick. Do you know what the problem with freedom is?
It's ugly and messy.
Yeah, the problem with freedom is with freedom, you have the freedom to advocate against freedom.
True.
So freedom is its own arch nemesis.
That's exactly right. Part of the freedom is the ability to say that we shouldn't have so much of it. That's exactly right. So before we go too far down the road of all we're going to talk about, I do want to give you a chance to mention something that is one of the most interesting and entertaining small facts. There is a, I wouldn't call it a prize fight, but there is an exhibition. Chris Smith of Gulf Coast Gun.
Yes.
Is scheduled to do a boxing? Not
match.
MMA, right? Boxing match against state representative and, at least for now, city attorney for the city of Milton, Alex Andrade, because they have had interactions.
Yes.
And somebody said, I'll fight you. Okay, let's fight. And since you run Island Fights.
Yep.
Well, I don't run, but you're involved.
I'm an official and a sanctioning body for them.
So they're going to fight, but that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is that they're training.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm training Alex right now, and I told Chris I would train him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been getting training over in Gulf Breeze from another coach.
Got it.
And I know this coach, and they're both in about the same condition. So it's going to be fair.
Not prime?
I think you said about the prize fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is going to be a prize fight, and we get to
– The prize is the audience
prize
gets it.
The prize is what we get to watch.
And by the way, this is a real thing at the Bay Center for Island Fights.
There will be no punches pulled. This will not be a Mike Tyson, Jake Paul.
Pillow fight.
They will really be throwing, and the outcome –
3 rounds, 2 minutes
Three 2-minute rounds.
That's great.
And there won't be a winner or loser because it is an exhibition. So at the end of it,
I think we'll know.
And I'm going to referee.
Okay.
And I feel confident that I can do it unbiased.
You feel safe?
I feel safe in a ring? I feel very safe. I'm not worried too much.
Well, that's going to be entertaining. All right. So the most recent thing that I wanted to have you on to talk about, and this is, you know, we're going to talk about the Congressional District 1 and the AG and all that stuff, but you have posed a problem at the Escambia County Commission meetings with what language is acceptable.
Yes.
And Stephen Berry has very consistently been trying to prevent you from using any profanity.
Sure.
You have been using what I would call mild profanity. It's, you know, PG-13 profanity. It's words I can't say on the radio, and we're not going to say on the radio.
Sure.
You also have a tagline. I'll let you say it. Larry Downs Jr.
Larry Downs Jr. Plumbing, LLC, because fecal matters.
And that's not profanity, even though it refers to the same thing that, you know, other words do refer to in a profane way. Right. And your argument is what? Why do you want to swear in the meetings?
Well, I don't want to. I did it on accident.
Okay.
You know, it's one of my holy things.
The shirt you're wearing right now.
Yes. And so I did it on accident, but then he started to treat me like a child because I did it. And then he told me that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, no, you're not going to use profanity, you know, while I'm here. And
you got escorted out one time.
Yes. And I don't think it's profanity. You know, that's a matter of perspective. One man's, you know, vulgarity is another man's lyric. You know, who gets to decide? It's kind of like the 8 inches of grass. Anything over that's too high. Maybe I like high grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I like mine to be a foot. who gets to decide these things?
Because, you know, and when I had Stephen Berry in here for the rap a couple of weeks ago, and I made the comment, I said, well, you know, what about light profanity? You know, things that we say would say on the radio, yep. You know, damn and hell, for example.
Sure.
He's like, well, I don't like to say those words either. Like, yeah, but you don't prohibit them.
But he says them in meetings, and he uses them himself.
And in shade meetings, we have transcripts of things. Yeah, sure.
I mean, he uses worse words than I used.
So, Jonathan, let you weigh in on this. I know where Larry's at, and I know what the Constitution, what I think the Constitution actually says about this, but we'll talk about that. You were an aide. You were a candidate. You've been around government. Politicians swear like sailors all the time when they're off the mic, and sometimes on. But I don't know a politician who doesn't swear.
Yes.
That is across the board.
I know politicians that don't swear around some people, but they swear around other people.
Right.
Doug used to joke, he's like, just I pray when I go into the meetings that I don't drop the F-bomb, you know, because it's so emotional, right?
Yeah.
A lot of this.
And your natural language comes out, right?
Right, right, right. So, you know, from a freedom of speech standpoint, in my opinion, I agree with Larry. Who gets to define what the speech is?
There's this old argument about profanity that I think is on track, which is that speech codes tend to be elitist. Speech codes tend to try to censor essentially poor, less educated people because they are more prone to use profanity because they don't have highly developed vocabulary and syntax. And so they are more prone to profanity, and in censoring speech content for like that, you're kind of marginalizing them from the public square,
right?
And we should not be. And there's a good argument to be made for it's classist and racist, but at least classist
yes.
to have speech codes, and that's a problem aside from everything else, you know. And as Larry, you've said many times, freedom is the stuff you don't want to hear.
Yes.
So I don't want to watch a meeting. It would make bad audio clips for me. But there's an argument to be made that you know. It is the public's opportunity to redress grievances. As long as they're not disrupting the meeting,
yep.
which is what the Supreme Court has said,
mm-hmm.
everything else is okay. And I mean, I've been wanting to ask you this question.
Yes.
We'll take a quick traffic break, but I want to know if you're going to sue the county, because I think you have a lawsuit against the county, and it may not be the outcome that any of us want,
yep.
Profanity-filled meetings, but I think that's what the Constitution protects. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Just a minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Larry Downs and Jonathan Owens. So, I mean, feel free to decline if you don't want to answer, but are you planning to sue the county?
Well, let's just say I have met with some attorneys.
Okay.
And I don't like... You know, like you see, you did a little thing on you played one of my clips at the city council meeting.
Yep.
I've always controlled myself at these meetings, always. And
restrained yourself.
Restrained myself, mm-hmm. controlled from my speech from being offensive. You know, I mean, it may be offensive, but it's not in their realm of what they consider profanity.
Right.
So whenever they do that, you know, and if I said that at the city council meeting and I let it go, well, then, you know, just let it go. Mm-hmm. I won't bring it back.
Don't make it a thing.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
But when you look at a grown man and you say, in the land of the free, home of the brave, and you say, don't say that word. And I'm like, what word? That word.
Right.
And we have to use initials and spell stuff. And
it's
then
the
he told S me.
Word.
He
it's
told
the
me
F
I
word.
Couldn't
yeah.
spell.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
He said, you can't. I said, holy S-H. Can
right.
I spell
no, you
here?
Can't spell it on the air.
Can you
spell Let me just say it this way. As my job is number one is to protect the license, I'd prefer you don't.
Yes, yes. So. No, I get it. But he told me that I couldn't spell it at a public meeting and when I'm redressing my government.
Yeah.
And I just...
The one know. Place where you ought to be the most free to yeah. say what you really believe, as
Absolutely.
Long as you're speaking and not just... No, look.
Our town square.
That's our town square. That's right. So let me make the counter argument. Nobody wants a meeting with... F-bombs and S-words and personal insults and
Me
colorful
either.
Language. And how do you allow what the FCC might call fleeting expletives in live scenarios? How do you allow that and not let it devolve into what it would become if anything goes? Jonathan?
I mean, maybe you just give a warning. Hey, or, if it's not in writing, it's not real. Give them a list. Here
yeah.
are the words that we do not want, and the board can vote on it, used in our public forum. If you choose to use these words, here's the, you know.
Some clear policy.
Here's the clear policy.
Yeah.
Goodness knows the county doesn't have clear policies on
it. Well, the way I hear it, they have a clear policy about everything.
Except public records.
Including, like, who gets to be the chairman, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
what we were told.
The policy that changes every time it's the chairmanship. Yeah, that
the
policy.
Is whatever we say it is this meeting. Yeah, sure.
Well, they do have the raw power.
That's correct.
To make bad decisions and good decisions.
It'd be nice if they were just clear decisions.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So Larry, you said you don't want it to be that either.
No, I don't. I don't
want
to get
in there.
What
if somebody comes in who's not Larry Downs Jr., who's not making a point?
Yes.
Somebody comes in and their point is to make the profanity.
Yep. Well,
because there will be such people.
David Suhor.
David Suhor. Yeah. Yep. The point was to be obnoxious.
Yep.
And to make the point, because that's also part of freedom.
And that's the problem with freedom. You can't have freedom without freedom. It's a problem.
That's right.
I mean, either we are going to advocate. I've had some, on both sides of the party, I've had problems with them, and they're like, we just can't do that, and we can't do this, because, and I'm like, where has freedom become the enemy? Right here in the land of the free and home of the brave. Let's change the slogan at least, because it's not adequate. We don't have a lot of brave. We just don't. And we and we don't have a lot of freedom, because when I was growing up in the 70s, I was born in the 60s, 70s and 80s, I heard this 1,000 times from friends, family, anybody I was with, coaches. They would see something they didn't like, and I would hear this right afterwards. I'd be 8, 10, 12, and I'd hear, there ought to be a law against that. Everything that they didn't like, there ought to be a law against that. Until 40 years later, now there's a law against that. Everything. Now they're telling me I can't say holy, bleep.
and that call for a prohibition. I mean, there are times when if enough people do a thing badly, if enough people abuse freedom, then eventually that's what is invited, is government restraint, right? That's what gets invited. Now, whether that's the right answer or not, that's its own question.
It's
but
not.
Good behavior doesn't invite those kind of problems.
Well,
but bad behavior is what proves that you have freedom. I mean, problems come from bad behavior, and bad behavior comes from freedom and imperfect people, which we all are.
I've heard that argument, and I've heard it. Larry, listen, it's because there's a few bad apples.
Right.
It's because, if it'll
or
save...
Or more than a few.
If it'll save one life, give up all your freedom.
Well, see, that's where I'm with you.
And
if it's one life, no.
If it will save one ear from hearing something offensive, just one ear.
There's an 8-year-old in the meeting, or there's an 8-year-old watching on TV, and the meeting has got to be PG enough for that child. And the answer is no. It doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't. But yet they will give children books with way worse profanity and sexuality, explicit. And that's in the same school board meetings I go to. They tell me I can't say certain words. That are
in the books that are in the school, right?
To read.
Yeah, no, that's true. I will say this because I've kind of over the years given a lot of thought to this issue of profanity. I think generally speaking, radio is better and TV is better because you can't swear. At the same time, profanity has unique communicative power that other words just don't.
Yes.
And you can say it in another way, but you can't say it the same as certain words allow you to say it. And that's judging by the reaction and the impact that those words have. Now, maybe you can argue that it's a better world where we try to say it other way, then that's fine. But the reason those words have power, and if you ban these words, somebody will find other words, and those words eventually become the banned words, right? That is because profanity carries communicative power of emotion, strength, intensity that other words just don't have.
And I agree completely. Our meetings need to not be profane. It doesn't need to be. But at the same time, I believe in freedom so much, just like marijuana. I don't do marijuana. I think it's useless. I really do. But I'm all for you to do it. And
tolerance
anybody else,
or freedom, right, exactly.
Because it's not my position to prohibit your freedom.
All right, last word on this subject. I got one other one I got to make sure we get to. I knew this would be a good topic for us to talk about. Jonathan, last word on profanity in the meetings. Where do you think the Constitution lies? Anything you want to say?
Guardrails. If you want to imply rules, you need to have what those rules are. You can't say profanity because profanity has to have some sort of definition. Everything has a definition, right?
If
you had a list, here are the words that we don't allow in this meeting.
Like the non-existent seven words from, George Carlin. There is no such list for the FCC, but yeah, right.
Right.
Some clarity.
Give me some clarity, and then I have a framework that I can work with. I can use another word other than those that may be way worse than what the words on that list. And then that list grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, right? Then we'll find out what happens. If once you start to define something or a set of rules, then you have to follow them.
Totally different subject, but one that I know both of you care passionately about, public records. We were talking about the city of Milton, that they have had real issues with public records from Mayor Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, deleted emails, deleted phone texts, got a whole new phone. I mean, the state attorney has declined to prosecute so far, which I think is a real problem, because if the person tasked with enforcing the law isn't going to enforce the law, then why is anybody going to follow it?
Yes.
I think that's a problem. But, okay, across the board, we have people who use their private cell phone and their private emails to do public business. You know, so many politicians, elected leaders, even appointed, hired, whatever, people who are doing public business, and with the Sunshine Law, those are all public records. My opinion is all of that stuff ought to automatically enter a public database. And if they want to remove things that were private from that, okay, that's up to them. But it should just automatically go on a database that Larry Downs or Jonathan Owens or Andrew McKay should be able to just go online and search. I want to see all the county commissioners' emails with the keyword OLF8 in them.
Yep.
There it is.
I agree.
Yes.
Without any filter.
No fee, no filter. If the program accumulates the information, the program can make it easy to search and disseminate the information.
Yep.
We're going to save staff time. We're going to not have to worry about redactions. Because if it's on your phone or it's on your email, now there might be legal elements to some of it, but that's fine. That's a small thing. But why won't we do it? I know the answer, but why won't we do it? Jonathan, you have
because then you can't operate outside the sunshine.
Right? Yeah, you can't. You can't shade yourself.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm dealing with that right now with the Florida Athletic Commission. I fought them same as I did the city. So we fought them back in 2011, 12, 13 and a half, and we won our organization. But now public records, same thing. They're not giving me the public records. I sent them one this morning again. And some of the text messages that I have received, it says, hey, call me. Hey, I need this information, that information.
Because a phone call is not a public record. It's not a record.
Yep.
That's the point. If you talk, the metadata of the call existing is a record, but the call itself or a face-to-face conversation is not a public record.
Yep.
And which, if this ever actually did happen, I just know it would mean more coffee meetings. That's what it would mean is they'd have to try harder to circumvent, right?
Yes. More meetings at Smokies.
Fair enough. Yeah. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Actually, I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, so Jonathan, you were chief of staff for Doug Underhill.
Mm-hmm.
You had a county phone.
I had a county phone and a personal phone.
Okay.
And I did my darndest to make sure that information that was public record or people trying to ask me public related things or things associated with the job happened on that county phone. Of course, I'm local from here. My phone, I've had the same phone number for 20
thousands
something
of people
years.
Know you.
Yeah, a lot of people know me and they'll call me on my personal phone. And I would tell them, say, hey, okay, we can talk. That's great. If you send me please send me an email about our conversation to district2@myescambia.com, or you can text me at this number and what my county cell phone was at the time. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, you carry two phones. So do drug dealers. There's a reason why drug dealers carry two phones.
Right.
So they've got, this
only
one
two?
And that one, maybe five.
You're right.
Public records are a real thing. And when you're asked for them, present them. Hey, that's what you're signed up for. You're getting paid to be a public servant if you're an employee, even if you're on a volunteer or an appointee. I mean, I'm now an appointee for the planning board or for District 1. I will be subject to Sunshine Law again and any communication with whatever topics associated with
the planning board. Yeah.
And I know that. And if you don't want that, then don't sign up for
that
or don't communicate with a county commissioner during a meeting. Don't send text messages to a county commissioner during a meeting if you don't want your communication to be public. It's just that simple. Call them after the fact.
I think it ought to be as easy as if I want to know what Stephen Barry is emailing, I should be able to read all of his emails and see the conversations and the text messages because that's a part of the business of government. In just as much a way as I'm watching a meeting, hearing the conversation. And how can you really understand the conversation on the dais if you don't understand the conversations that took place behind the dais, behind the screen, that you can request, but that you have to probably pay for, that you have to wait for, that you have to hope they come through on? That's a ridiculous. I mean, if we're really going to commit to transparency in the Sunshine Law, that's what it would look like.
Yes. Hmm? And I've received ridiculous amounts of money for public records where they tell me, and I've paid probably over $8,000 in public records requests since 2006.
And see, that's another thing is, look, there may be a transaction cost associated with providing the records, and I don't want to force taxpayers to pay for you because you want frivolous records. That's the extreme case, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're making it so that average people who aren't willing to pay, or maybe average people who can't pay, do they have less right and entitlement to the record? That's ridiculous.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
Well, what's the date of the island fight for Alex and Chris?
January 25th, Pensacola Bay Center.
Oh, man, that's going to be good. Larry Downs Jr., Jonathan Owens, thanks for the time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Listen on air at 92.3.